Okay, listen, I have to make this short because Robert's got the preacher's itch. And so I don't want to hold him up. He can't wait to get up here.
What?
Oh, let me ask you a question. What is God? Or who is God? Can anybody tell me? Yes.
You.
Oh. Well, that's one.
You.
What's one definition?
You.
I can tell you what he is. He is love, light, and life.
Yep. Amen.
Now, I don't know if that's a he, an it, or what it is, but love, light, and life, that's God. What can you do with those three words? A lot. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is one of my favorite scriptures, and it's John, 1 John 2:27. The anointing that abides in you. You have an anointing, and that anointing abides in you, and it is the truth, and it is no lie. If we would have a revelation and a knowing of that verse, we would never again have to go to the arm of flesh or go to any what we call human being to get an answer for us. Now, that's what Jesus meant when he said, I must go away. Now, if you could put yourself back in that time slot and see yourself as one of those apostles that had been with him for 3.5 years and seen him raise the dead, took care of all their sicknesses and all their needs, and they really expected him when he came to take over the kingdom of the world, which he didn't do and never meant to do. But how would you feel living with a man for 3.5 years who fulfilled all of your needs, cured all your sicknesses, and he'd say to you, I have to go away? Why did he have to go away? Because he said, if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. What he really meant to say was, if I don't go away, you will never experience the life that I have.
That's right.
Yes.
Because the Comforter is within you. And he said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all things.
Yes.
It's hard to find a handful of Christians who really believe that, or they wouldn't be in church trying to find out what the pastor wants to tell them. And please believe me, I am not against church. I was saying yesterday, when I was in church, I absolutely loved it. I can't say that I'm as comfortable there now as I was then, but if we learn to, we have to start out by asking ourselves, do we really believe what Jesus taught? Because if you really believe it, you'll begin to meditate and you'll begin to walk in and practice the reality that he taught. So when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Walter Lanyon used to say all the time, and I think Joel did too, that you don't go to the arm of flesh. I did that for so long. Every time I'd see something in the spirit, I'd go to the pastor and share with him what I was seeing. And without fail, he'd always tell me I was being deceived by the devil or a demon. And so I heard early on in my Christian life, I mean really early on, within a few months, that I had to learn to trust my own heart and my anointing. Well, when I told my pastor that, he said, Gary, that's not even scriptural, because the scriptures say the heart is deceitfully wicked. Well, if you believe that, how could you ever get past that? But the scriptures also say in Ezekiel 36:26 that I will put my spirit within you and you will walk in my statutes. So what do you want to believe? You have the Spirit of God in you, or you have a wicked heart. I taught in Canada one weekend for like 3 or 4 days, and all I shared with them was about the new man and how that God had given, we were not given a new man. We, when we are what we call born again, regenerated, we are simply renewed or quickened again to the life we had before we entered this realm. Yes. And so I was sharing with them a lot of information about how you respond as a new man and how you have a new heart. And all weekend, that's all I taught. On the last day I was there, this is a song they sang. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew within me a right spirit. That shows you that you can sit under teaching for days and still not lose the old concept. Amen. And so after that, they sang that song, I got up and I said, you just disannulled everything I said this weekend. You didn't believe it. Wow. If you did, you could not sing, create in me a clean heart, O God. If you had have believed what you heard, that you have a new heart, that God put his spirit within you, and he will even cause you to walk in his statutes. And that's why Jesus said, take heed to how and what you hear. You can hear the truth all day long, yet your mind can't go along with it, and it's not supposed to. But we can learn to function from that spiritual realm. Another thing I was taught, and I tried this for years, is to go from the outer court to the inner court. You ever try that? I used to sing, Lord, take me in. I want to be where you dwell. And I sang all kinds of songs about wanting to enter into that holy place. Until one day I realized that the spirit that I am, that is the holy place. I can't struggle and strive with my humanity to get in there. I'm there. I've always been there. So what I had to learn to do is to speak from that realm, even speak to my own soul that realm, until it become natural for me to function, and I'm still struggling with it. Don't misunderstand me. But I'm still learning to function, not from the outer court trying to get into the holy place, but learning to function from the holy place. Isn't it? And I love the teaching of the tabernacle, but to think that you have to start in the outer court, that's our experience, but that's not the truth. We start there, but the truth is we're already where we're trying to get by going from the outer court to the inner court to the holy place. So you can just get there much faster if you know the truth. There's nothing any more amazing than spiritual truth. So when you know that his spirit is not only in you, you are the spirit. And you are always in his presence. The only way you can get out of it, you can't get out of his presence, but you can sense his presence is not there, especially if you believe some of the religious teachings that tell you as long as you're in sin, you cannot get to God. That is, none of us would be here if that was true. So we have access anytime. And I cannot tell you, I can't even remember the last time I felt condemned over anything. It doesn't matter how many mistakes I make, how bad I blow it, I know that's my flesh. And that's never going to get any better. I had a hard time when I heard that. When I first heard your flesh will never get any better, I thought, well, what the hell's the use? Because that's what I wanted. But I didn't know what I wanted I already was. That's such a shift in consciousness. And that's the only thing. We need to be like Mike and start vibrating a little more. Yeah. Yesterday, after I finished speaking, it was at least an hour before I could come down. That is such words, and that's another thing. Language cannot really adequately convey spiritual truth.
Yes.
We all do the best we can, but experience, you don't have to explain it. You just know it. And it's for so many years, people have thought because they know something that they experience it. I used the illustration of a cookbook. Many preachers study the Bible like a cook cooks a cook, teaches, learns a cookbook. I could take a cookbook and I can memorize all the recipes and totally know how to make that recipe, but if I never get in the kitchen and cook it, I'll never experience the truth of what I know.
Amen.
That's true.
And there's multitudes of people out there who memorize the cookbook, the Bible, and can teach it from cover to cover, yet have no experience. I learned that when I was in the Word of Faith movement. We mistake spiritually gifted people as being spiritual, and that's not necessarily the case. A gift does not make you spiritual. A gift is a gift. You can prophesy, raise the dead, and do all kinds of things if you have that gift and that discernment and really not be spiritual. And I believe that's why the scriptures said, many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we raised the dead and healed the sick? And they would hear, I never knew you. Yet you may never raise the dead. You may never experience healing flowing through you. Yet on that day, he's not going to look at all the outward acts. He's going to know your heart, and he's going to say, welcome into my kingdom. Now, that's not to say anybody's going to be left out, because they aren't. But my point is that it's the most important thing today to have just a little bit of experience than it is to know all the scriptures from cover to cover. There was one minister, it was Dakes, I believe, that memorized the whole Bible. You heard of Dakes?
Yes.
He could quote the whole Bible. And I'm not saying he wasn't spiritual, because I don't know. He said some crazy stuff. Like, that's where really the most of the doctrine of the rapture came from, the Dakes Bible. Okay. So always remember that. Some people say, I just can't read the Bible. Carol can tell you she didn't read the Bible a lot, never has. I just can't do it. Yet you'll be hard to find a more spiritual person than Carol is. Sometimes. I heard about a Seventh-day Adventist lady one time. I was told, if you ever enter her presence, she can command the presence of the Lord. I said, I want to meet this woman. She lived in Boston. So I went to Boston when 1776 for the 1976 for the bicentennial celebration. And my brother lived in that city, and he knew this woman. So I asked him to take me over there. So we went over to this lady's house. And again, she was a Seventh-day Adventist. They're not supposed to have the truth, right? At least that's what you'll be taught in some Christian circles. So I said to this lady, I said, I heard that you can command the presence of the Lord. Oh, brother, she said, yes, it's God's presence is so wonderful. So I asked her to do it. I can't tell you what she said, but she began talking, and all of a sudden the awareness came over me, and I began to weep with the presence of God. So I've had a few experiences like that helped me understand that Everybody has something of value. If all of your doctrine is wrong, if all everything you do is wrong, yet if you have a heart for God, there's something of value that you can give to another person. And that's why there's such a variety on my website. I've taken more criticism over that website than anything in my life, because I've got New Age people on there, I've got Pentecostals on there, I've got, well, you name it, they're there. But if you read those sites, you'll benefit from something that is being said. Now, if I had to shut that site down, a lot of people would have missed out on a lot of things. And right to this day, I never have. Now, I'm not talking about hits. I'm talking about actual people. Never less than 50,000 every month visit that website. And some months I go over 90,000. So I don't shut anybody out. The only person I have not put on that site is someone who preaches hellfire and damnation, because I realized they just wouldn't fit there. If God, I shouldn't say if God, since God receives everyone. He don't care what you believe. He'll receive you. And when you talk, he'll listen to you, even if you tell him your wrong beliefs. Isn't that love? Isn't that what we're to walk in? Amen. It'd be the most difficult thing you ever do. But it's so rewarding. There's nothing like recognizing the value that's deposited. You know, Watchman Nee said something I read probably 40, 50 years ago. He said, the treasure, speaking of the Spirit of God, the treasure is in every vessel. And there's no vessel so earthy that it cannot or does not contain the treasure. See, that impacted me way back in 1970. I first heard that. And that's the vision we need. No matter how earthy, no matter how what we call sinful, no matter how much we, our natural person would reject someone, we need to have the vision that the treasure is in the vessel. So you don't minister to the carnality of man, you minister to the treasure that's in them. And the Spirit in them relates and resonates to what you say that will bypass their mind. I've had people leave meetings cussing me, literally cussing me. I had a guy one night stand up in church. It was in Springfield, Oregon. He stood up and he said, "This is the biggest bunch of bullshit I ever heard." And then he went, "Ah," because he realized what he said. In church, he said that. So it was about probably 6 months later, this guy called me weeping because he couldn't forget what I was saying. It kept coming to him. And so he began to do some research, and he came into the light. I had another lady in Oregon that she told me, "Brother, the gospel you preach, you're going to be responsible for multitudes of people going to hell, because they're going to believe you, and they're going to go out and live their lives any way they want to, because they know they don't have to go to hell." She said that to me, angry, and she left that meeting, and she called me a few months later, telling me how much I appreciate your writings. I said, "How did you read?" She said, "Well, on the way out the door, I picked up a few of your books." So you never know. You can't judge by the vessel. That's right. I'll give you one more illustration. I was preaching in North Carolina one night, and there was a guy in the front row. And the more I preached, the meaner he looked. And It almost stopped me because I thought, man, this guy, when this message is over, he's going to get me. And the more I talked, the more he looked, and I could swear he just liked to punch me out. When the message ended, he got up and went out the door. I thought, phew. Because I thought he was going to really get after me. About 5 minutes later, he came back in the door. He said, I had to go to my car. I left my wallet there. He shoved a $100 bill in my hand and said, that's the best message I've ever heard. Remember the gal in our church when I pastored a church? She called me up one day and she said, Pastor, why do you hate me? I said, what? Remember that?
Yeah.
She said, why do you hate me? She said, every time you preach, you look at me and I can just tell you just hate me. Why do you even let me come to the church? But that was what she saw in me, and what I saw in that guy, well, we were totally wrong. You cannot judge by outward appearance. That's why I love this word so much about judging, yes. Not by appearances. You just can't do that. Okay, Robert, I'm going to let you come now. He's back there just dancing, wanting to speak. Go.